Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Watch What Crappens ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the app today.
Hey, y'all, it's your girl, Keke Palmer. I'm an actress, singer, and entrepreneur. On my new podcast, Baby, This is Keke Palmer, I'm asking friends, family, and experts the questions that are in my head. Like, is OnlyFans only bad? Where do memes come from? And where's Tom from MySpace? Listen to Baby, This is Keke Palmer, only on Amazon Music.
Watch What Crappens, Watch What Crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens?
Crappens.
Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to talk about. I'm Ben Mandelker, and joining me today is a man who lives on the wrong side of the tracks in Salt Lake City. It's Mr. Ronnie Karam.
How dare you make fun of the fact that I'm from Hillary?
I thought you were from Tooele. Aren't you from Tooele?
Tooele Tukes.
Tallulah. I'm from Tallulah, Tallulahville, okay?
Fucking Salt Lake City. My God. The commitment to making zero sense that this show shows. That's something. It's impressive.
This poor season, held together by scotch tape and spit, you know? Just trying to get over the finish line.
And I do not care what anybody says. This shit is hilarious. I was cracking up watching this.
I do not care. It's funny. It is funny. I'm laughing.
So funny. Because we're doing this as one of our live shows. We start live shows next week. Yeah. Austin is the second. We're going to be doing Real Housewives of Miami. So excited. And then the next night in Dallas, we're going to be doing this. Salt Lake City, the reunion.
Part two.
And people are like, oh my God, I hate that. Why are you doing that? I don't care about Heather's aunt. It's not about what you think about the show, okay? A Crappens experience is not about the show being good. It's harder for us when the show is really good, okay?
Yeah.
This is our wheelhouse, okay? A shitty season of a crazy show. That's where we excel, okay? We're all blessed to be together next Saturday or Friday. Friday.
Yeah. No, you're right. So everyone come join together. Come to us. Go to watchwhatcrappens.com for all your tickets. And then, of course, after we're done with Austin and Dallas, we have a whole other large host of shows that we'll be doing. Later in February, we're going to Phoenix, going back to Phoenix for the first time since the pandemic. And then after that, we have our big ass show in L.A., it's for the Golden Crappies at the Wiltern Theater, right there at the corner of Western and Wilshire. And we've already booked probably about 5 or 6, maybe 7, maybe 8 guests. I can't keep track. We have a bunch of guests that are going to be there. They're really good. I'm really, really excited. They're from very interesting spaces, but we're not going to announce who they are just yet. But the point is, you got to come. Got to come to the show. It's going to be so fun. And the ballot for that's going to be coming up soon as well. And then after the Crappies are done, we got Charlotte, Atlanta, Denver, Salt Lake City, Seattle, San Francisco, Toronto, Philadelphia, New York, D.C., San Diego, St. Paul, Chicago, Columbus, Boston. And then we end in Mashantucket, Connecticut at the Foxwoods Resort and Casino. So it's so exciting to be going out on tour again. Ronnie and I are going to reunite next week. In his hometown, there, not his hometown, but where his town is right now, where his home,
current
where his home. Home is right now.
Current hometown.
And also, this is Crappens on Demand. Go to patreon.com/watchforcrappens. You can watch us. Hello, everyone. And it's fun times. So we got a big, big episode to recap. So this is Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. Andy, I would say his enthusiasm level, not the highest I've seen. Not the highest. It's like you just told him he's going to be recapping a reunion of Princess's Long Island.
Every single question Andy asked was basically, can I have a check, please? Check. every little thing, everything he said, I was expecting him to do the little handwriting motion in the air because that's how checked in he was. He was like, fuck all of you. I hate. And then when there was drama, like it started getting good and there would be some drama, he's like, oh my God, shut up. Next, let's go to a clip, please. I was like, this is your job. This is the dramatic part. You're supposed to be excited. And he's like, no, you guys suck. Hate you. Hate the show. Hate the set. Hate wigs. I hate your new chin, Meredith. Lisa, I hate Diet Coke. Fuck Diet Coke. I was like, God.
He almost had his network moment of I'm mad as hell. But I'm not going to take it anymore. Yeah, he just seemed so unenthused. I think part of that, to be fair, is because they filmed this reunion, I think, December 16th. So at that point, everyone is in senioritis mode. Everyone's ready to go to the holidays. Probably the last thing that he wanted to do was spend a Friday sitting and having to do a whole reunion. So he probably is already not enthusiastic. And then Jen Shah doesn't show up. So now it's literally four people there. He is just so...
Yeah,
he's just not into it.
Another big thing is being a father at 59 or whatever, 52 or whatever he is. And, you know, I've watched a couple episodes of Watch What Happens Live to, you know, see funny people who are whoever's on there to catch whatever goss is going on. And he'll be like, what about kids? Because, you know, that's what parents ask everybody they see. They're like, hey, what do you think about you'd be a great parent? Because they want someone to bitch to and they know that their non-parent friends will not listen to it. So anyway, most people are like, dude, I'm too old for kids. And every time they say that, he's like, I'm 50 and you're fucking exhausted. Okay. You're showing up. You're literally gray. You are as gray as your hair. You look like a Swiffer sweeper. Okay. You look like a Swiffer sweeper in a suit. You are exhausted, sir. Don't tell me to have babies at 50. Hell no. No.
Yeah. He just looks, it's a combination of exhaustion from having a little wee one. Exhaustion. Two. Well, yeah, but like he's got like a real, but his daughter is less than a year old, right?
Yeah, you never even see the son anymore. I was like, would you ship him off to Hogwarts? Where's he? All you see is the little one, Hazel. I think her name's Hazel. They're always like, look, here's Hazel. She's like, ooh, you know, ha, like these cute like little pudgy baby faces.
They are cute babies. Those are cute, two cute babies.
Yeah, they are cute. But I don't think you ever see the other one anymore. He got shipped off somewhere. Hazel's the only one we see.
Either way, there are a lot of factors contributing to the fact that Andy does not seem very enthused to be doing this reunion. He just wants to go home, put his feet up, binge some shows, feed his kids.
Have the nanny feed him some damn grapes is all he wants. And listen, that makes this reunion even better because his amount of being over it is just fucking hilarious. Like he has had it. So it's New York City at 7 a.m. Whitney comes in just like Whitney. Lisa is in her dressing room. She's like, Whitney, do you feel nerves? And she's like, no, not at all. Because all season, I was so gaslit. And watching it back, I realized I wasn't crazy. Listen, you got to be on the right side of history.
Yeah, like Abraham Washington.
Denzel Washington, dummy.
I love that the right side of history is coming down to Whitney's fights. Like, whether, like, I don't know. Who did
just
you
for
believe?
Jazz.
Do you believe that Angie Harrington said that Lisa Barlow gave blowjobs for the jazz tickets? Because you don't want to be wrong on that one. You don't want to be on the wrong side of history. Don't want to be on the... When they write the textbooks about that moment in American history, don't want to be on the wrong side of it.
You don't want to be on the Confederate side of the blowjob fight. Okay, nobody wants to get that on their 23andMe family tree breakdown, you know?
Whitney. 50 years from now. 50 years from now, when Whitney is running for office... Hi, I'm Whitney Rose, running to be a senator. Well, Miss Rose, we just pulled up some archival footage, and it seems like you may have been on the wrong side of history when it came to blowjobs for jizz for jazz. No. Oh.
Oh, my gosh. Thank God for the hot tub time machine. So then we go to Meredith's dressing room. Meredith has a new chin. Looks very pretty. Whatever she's done,
she's doing great
I want
work.
One.
Yeah, I didn't notice that, but I believe you.
I think, or it's just being, maybe it's just being shown differently. I don't know. I've never noticed her chin before, but I really like it. I mean, Meredith is one of the most gorgeous Toy Stories I've ever seen. They really should start making Toy Story Real Housewives, because
maybe she's just Megan.
She's good. Maybe she's
maybe the sequel. Maybe the sequel to Megan is just called Meredith.
Megan.
I'm a doll. I'm not going to kill in defense of my favorite little girl. I'm just going to say that's absolutely incorrect. And I heard a rumor. I'm going to kill people with rumors.
So Heather and her in dressing room together. And Andy's like, hey, guys. And how are you feeling and all that? And Heather's like, I'm feeling good, Andy. And he's like, well, are we going to be able to get you to a place where you haven't been able to get to in the season? And by that, I mean making any kind of fucking sense. I have no idea what I'm watching. I have no idea.
I thought he meant an international destination on a trip, because that's one place they have not been able to get to ever on this show. So it's like,
hey, you're going to get to a place you haven't been able to get to anywhere past Phoenix. That would be fun.
It's true. They have only stuck to Southwest Airlines flight paths. Okay. Like the fact that Meredith and Heather wound up in New York City for the very last scenes of the season was like shocking. It was strange. It was like, what are they doing there? There's tall buildings.
Too far. Bring them back.
The season jumped the shark. They're away from the Southwest flight zone.
Actually, Southwest does fly to New York. You just have to go out of Ronkonkoma. Trust me, that's a real bitch.
Oh, I've done that. I thought it was Islip. Either way, whatever. You have to take like a train to a little...
You have to go to the Ronkonkoma station. Yeah, you have to go to the Ronkonkoma station, then take a cab to Islip.
Imagine if your last name was Konkoma. Then you would really be Ronkonkoma.
Being young and broke in New York, my dad used to be like, guess what your Christmas present is? You can use my Southwest miles to come home. I'd be like, oh, fucking A. I got to get from Forest Lawn to fucking Islip. Are you kidding? Yeah. It's like a 2-day journey. I was like in a covered wagon.
Yeah. Yeah. It must have been really painful for Meredith and Heather to make that trip, because, you know, that's what it was. So Heather's...
They were literally in little bonnets.
With like what was it? Salt tack? Whatever you had to eat on pirate ships. We're going on a journey. Wish us well. I feel like I'm my Mormon ancestors right now, but going back east, the experiment didn't work out.
You're so stupid. So then Andy's like, are you going to get to a place, Heather? Meaning like, are you going to tell us about your black eye? And she goes, well, I'm hoping so, Andy. I mean, you're the housewives whisperer. He's like, oh, he goes, Jesus Christ.
He's like, oh, it's on me? She's like, I was hoping. So then Andy goes up to Meredith. She's like, hey, how do you feel about seeing Lisa? She's like, well... I feel like a lot of my side of the story has never been told, so I am ready. Hey, get your toe out of my taint, Meredith. Sorry, force of habit.
So Whitney asks Lisa, she's like, do you think that we'll be sitting next to each other? And Lisa's like, well, I hope so. You know, you're one of my best friends, but I requested to be sat next to a Diet Coke and a Big Gulp cup. So we'll say, we'll say.
So Lisa says to Andy, are you ready? He goes, are you ready? She says, yeah, I think today's going to be weird. Like, the dynamics definitely, like, shifted and stuff. Well, I think I know how the other trailer's going to show up. They're going to be like, wow, we're on the wrong side of history.
And Andy's like, oh, God, can we just fucking start this? Okay. So he's like, oh, my God, my fucking ring just went off again. Amazon, leave me alone. I've got kids trying to sleep. Like, Andy, please concentrate. Just sit down on the set, please. So the set is being dressed. They're making it look like they're Santa Claus, and they're just now putting the set together, you know?
Yeah.
So they're like rolling out the fake snow, and everybody's on their way to the set, but nobody's on the set. It's only Andy.
Yeah. Strange. So Andy's like, hello and welcome to the Real Housewives of Salt Lake City season 3 reunion. I'm Andy Cohen, and in true Salt Lake fashion, everyone on the cast got arrested, so it's just me today.
So, what would a better arrival be for Castle Salt Lake City than a covered wagon with a bunch of racist white guys who want to fuck 7 women each legally? It's the cast of Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. Oh, it's a Sprinter van. It's a Sprinter van.
So a Sprinter van shows up. This is the Bravo equivalent of the helicopter in Miss Saigon. So basically the Sprinter van comes up and then Andy's like, okay. So he like walks up to this Sprinter van that's on the set and he like opens the door and they all walk out. It's like this very awkward set piece of a moment that
That didn't really land, you know.
No one really liked it.
It was a pretty, awkward moment. So Meredith is like, well, I think that animals are in consensus and we don't need to spend more time in Sprinter vans.
And then they fire up a good old fashioned Sprinter van montage of them all basically yelling each other at each other for the past 2 years.
Yeah, because they're not going to get Jen in this reunion, so they're just going to put as many Jen clips as they can to keep us watching. So this is basically just different shots of Vans and Jen going, what about what I'm going through?
So Andy's like, well, I'm here at the Ladies of Salt Lake City. Hi, Meredith. Hi, Andy. Hey, did you share a nice bubble bath with Seth before arriving? Well, I think that Seth was still in bed when I left this morning. But then again, there never was a discussion of exactly where Seth was in the first place.
If anyone wonders where Salt Lake City, like, rests on the hierarchy of these shows, Meredith's most memorable moment is being in a bath that one time. So, congrats.
Yeah.
So and then, Heather, you look fully recovered from your black eye situation. Your filler addiction seems to be raging, so yay you. If I had a nickel for every ounce of buccal fat removed from your face, I'd be rich as Erica Jane pretended to be. How's it going, Heather?
And Heather's
is
like,
it called buccal fat? Days. Is it buccal fat or buccal fat or buccal fat?
For... I don't think I know what's...
That's what everybody is doing to get their cheekbones to look like mine naturally do.
Oh, I just heard about like, that.
Where they look like really sunken in or whatever. But someone, without my lips doing this. But.
Yes, someone just told me that there's a new procedure where people remove the fat from like right here.
Yeah, they all look like kind of vampire-y or me when I'm thin. God, I miss those days. I'll be back with you, non-buccal fat face. Buccal. Soon.
So then, hi, Whitney Wildrose. How are you? I'm doing well. Good. Hey, you got a little chocolate syrup on your dress there, so still might want to wipe that off from Justin.
Hi, he hates Lisa. Whitney. He hates her. He's always like, hey, Whitney, you're still dumb. Lisa, spray tan? Is it even today? Skip right over with poor Whitney. So he tells them, we're in a dilapidated church. Do you think it's a symbol of the season? And Lisa goes, yeah, so dilapidated. And Whitney's like, it can't poop?
No, dilapidated. Oh, dilapidated. That's when you have your lap surgically removed.
Then where does Justin sit during dinner?
No, dilapidated means you've just installed dial-up internet in your home. You've been dilapidated.
So then Heather's like, yeah, you know, this set is so beautiful, Andy. And I really think that it's so representative of what we've gone through this season. I was like, yeah, that's what he just said, Heather. So then Lisa's like, I have mixed emotions. It would be great to get some closure. It would be great.
Well, there's only 4 of you on the couches today, and we invited Jen to be here. But unfortunately, her legal team represented by makeup artist number one, Esquire. Unfortunately,
Murillo DDS Esquire.
Attorney at law. The law firm of Murillo and Murillo has advised her not to come today.
So Heather's like, yeah, I mean, she was kind of the whole season, so good luck with this. Good luck with this one. He's like, great. Well, she changed her plea from guilty to not guilty. Whitney, come on, Whitney. And Whitney's like, I was surprised because she screamed from rooftops that she was innocent, and she screamed innocent, but then also she screamed slut a lot, too. But innocent, but slut, too. It was very confusing. She screamed a lot, Andy.
I thought she'd go to Trill. So Lisa's like, well, I had mixed emotions because, like, Jen did what she needed to do. Sort of like me when I have to go to any convenience store to get some new Diet Coke. And, like, if she's guilty, like, she took responsibility for her actions.
Right. So Meredith was like, I was shot after I was... Sounds like you're washing a horde of semis in your mouth, Meredith. You just get you an answer. I should know what to expect.
I was shocked. It's like the time I was watching Top Chef and one person alone was able to slice a lemon. I was like, you only need to put one hand on that thing? That's crazy. I was shocked.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
Life is short, and it's full of a lot of interesting questions. What does happiness really mean? How do I get the most out of my time here on Earth? And what really is the best cereal? These are the questions I seek to resolve on my weekly podcast, Life is Short with Justin Long. If you're looking for the answer to deep philosophical questions like what is the meaning of life, I can't really help you. But I do believe that we really enrich our experience here by learning from others. And that's why in each episode, I like to talk with actors, musicians, artists, scientists, and many more types of people about how they get the most out of life. We explore how they felt during the highs and sometimes more importantly, the lows of their careers. We discuss how they've been able to stay happy during some of the harder times. But if I'm being honest, it's mostly just fun chats between friends about the important stuff. Like if you had a sandwich named after you, what would be on it? Follow Life is Short wherever you get your podcasts. You can also listen ad-free on the Amazon Music or Wondery app.
Heather, did she tell you in advance that she was going to change her plea? And Heather's like, oh yeah, she called me right before she went into court, Andy. And I just cried with her and I said, good luck. Good luck.
Did you feel lied to, though? And she goes, well, I wasn't feeling anything other than sadness for her family, and I thought of her children, and I thought of, like, hey, my friend that was doing something that I didn't think she wanted to do.
She was talked into it. You know, that was part of her defense, that she was just running around with the bad crowd at 50-something, you know? If your friends told you to run off a cliff and rob an old person, would you do that?
Right. Well, I want to leave it there because this seems sort of interesting. So why even follow through with it? So we're going to come back to this later.
Yeah. So he's like, all right, well, let's leave that there for this wonky Vita cocktail intro into Lisa and Meredith. Are the two of you on speaking terms? Does anybody care? I don't. Go ahead and answer anyway. And so Lisa goes, first of all, hi, Meredith. Hi, Meredith. Meredith was like,
I wished her a happy birthday.
Thank you.
And Andy's like, you wished her a happy birthday? She's like, yeah, well, I was with you. And then we see footage of Watch What Happens Live where she goes, happy birthday, I guess. And it's like awkward. And everyone's looking around like, yeah.
Because Andy's like, it's Lisa's birthday. She goes, happy birthday, Lisa. Well, hypothetically, if she'd contacted you after the reunion and said, let's just sit down, would you have taken the meeting? And Meredith is like, yeah, Cindy, definitely. You know, me, Meredith, the easy one to apologize to on the cast.
I didn't feel that. I felt very alone in a manger. I was without Diet Coke.
No Coke for my head. The little Lord Meredith wished that I was dead. All right, we'll get to that later, Lisa. All right. Well, my issues with Lisa today have nothing to do with her childish tantrum. And how many times do I have to say the same thing, Andy?
Well, that's the first time I've personally heard of it. So Andy's like, well, your animus towards her doesn't. Whitney, animus, give you a moment there to look that up on your phone. Okay.
Hold Not for until Whitney. We've been dating for 3 months.
All right. I don't know what you just said, but we're just going to move on. If your animus towards her doesn't have to do with the hot mic, what does it have to do with? Well, Andy, after Arizona, we were in neutral space. It was an Apple store and hopefully a positive moment forward in the purchase of a stylus. But shortly thereafter, I come to find that Lisa had removed me as a follower on her Instagram. She did it right there in the Apple store on one of the sample phones they have right there. It was horrifying. She did it in public.
And she was hiding her stories from me, from my view. And what completely set me over the edge was when she said, Siri, say that Meredith smells like farts. And then Siri said to the whole store, Meredith smells like farts.
Well, it's funny, because when you say that in a store, there's a bunch of Apple devices. They all hear it, and suddenly it's a chorus of phones saying, Meredith smells like farts. Meredith smells like farts. Meredith says like farts. And then there's one that says, I'm sorry, I didn't get that. And then another phone said, I said, Meredith smells like farts. It was horrible. Horrifying.
Well, you know, I was very upset when Lisa didn't reach out when my father passed away. I was like, oh God, here we go a fucking again with this. And she goes, and then Lisa went to Twitter and posted lots of text messages that were from a month later to make it look like I was lying.
That's not true. That's not true. That's not true. Excuse me, but when I have already been traumatized, horrified, traumatized enough about my father's death, where she had already created drama over the dates, and that to me was just like, really? We're going to go here again with something so raw and so painful to me that I couldn't understand the rationale. Okay, Whitney, rationale, give you a moment to look that one up. Okay, I'll hold, Andy.
She was a really good wife to Bill Cosby on a show in the 90s.
That's Felicia Rashad, yeah. Not rationale. And I thought, this is not someone who wants to move forward with me in a positive direction. I just started to visualize Whitney looking up rationale and coming up with Felicia Rashad as her result.
So, a potato from Boise is really all we have going on. Said you were talking about Lisa from the get-go of the season, Meredith. Do you regret it? And she's like, well, the context was cut out of why I was talking about Lisa, Andy. And he goes, the context being, well, what she did to me in the Apple store.
They made it seem like I went into one of those Microsoft stores, which no one goes into. I was horrified at the implication that I was there.
Well, you know, she, the context was that I was very concerned for Lisa, I mean, because her behavior was just not the behavior of a normal person. Oh, yeah? Tell Meredith she smells like poop.
Meredith smells like poop.
You see, Andy?
What I will not stand for is the constant bullying, traumatizing, and horrifying nature of Siri. I will not stand for it, and I have a toddler at home who has to hear this.
So Andy's like, oh, you're worried about her, and your storyline this season is mental health. So did you reach out to her, Meredith? Did you? Did you reach out? She's like,
and then we just hear like that buzz of the lights in the studio. It's like a long pause and a and she's like,
No. No. And I probably should have. But regardless of my intentions, Lisa, I'm sorry I said there were rumors out there that you had sex with the zebra in exchange for getting your tequila into vending machines at 7-Eleven, but you did it, and I'm sorry that I talked about it.
I don't believe that you fellated the entire Utah Jazz organization and some of their concession operators, but they are out there, and I apologize for saying any of that, that your name and phone number is written in all the stalls in any nook and cranny of the Utah Jazz Stadium. Okay.
I'm sorry that after witnessing the iPhone videos of you getting animus from all of the zebras from the Utah Jazz Baltimore Ravens, then I repeated that to other people, Lisa.
Animus. I love the burritos. That's paquito mas, not animus. Andy Lutz.
It's a hard knockered life. That's Annie. Okay. It's not even close.
I always rooted for her and Neo. That's Carrie Ann Moss, not Animus.
So Lisa's like, thank you. So then Andy's like,
Tiger from Lily Shrimp said, are there multiple rumors about Lisa? Because there were so many. I mean, there was giving blowjobs for jazz tickets. There was doing sexual favors to get Vita in restaurants.
Oh, yeah, there are like 3 or 4 just from this group. Hey, you know what? Can I have a break? I need a glass of water. Please, I'm dying. I'm dying up here. I'm dying, Andy.
I would love to clarify this. Okay. Water is something that comes in a bottle or a glass. Oh, I thought you were going to clarify something about the show, not something about the water request. Okay. No, I can do that too. First of all, I never said Meredith started rumors. I said she was the one who started talking about it. However, when Meredith came to my house, she said there were rumors about Lisa that she performs favors for the placement of Vita. Isn't that absurd? She said that. And then she told me Stevie Nicks started the rumors. Well, you were doing so well. Fleetwood Mac album called Rumors.
Different. And Whitney is such a dum-dum. She's like doing her finger. She's like, however, then she came to my house and she said, isn't it absurd that Lisa would be doing favors for Vita Tequila? And then I said no. And then I said, well, what I had heard. And I was like, are you trying to help yourself here? Because you're basically incriminating yourself, Whitney.
Well, that's what she always does. And because she actually thinks it's a virtue because she's saying how she owns things. But what was funny is that when I was watching this, I was taking notes and I accidentally hit the 10-second rewind or the 5-second rewind. So what I heard was this. I heard the following sentence. However, when Meredith came to my house, she said there were rumors about Lisa that she performs favors for the placement of Vita. However, when Meredith came to my house, she said there were rumors about Lisa that she performs favors. And I actually thought that was just Whitney.
That's plausible.
It's plausible that she would literally repeat the same sentence.
That's what happens in her mind, that 10-second jump. Like, she just kind of hits it sometime, you know? That is how Whitney talks. So she's like, yeah, well, I said I had heard, but I never said blowjobs for courtside seats. Let me point again.
I said those rumors, like, are about this man, because I heard them from Angie Harrington. Then, when we got to Arizona, then Heather spun my words, and she said blowjobs for courtside seats.
It's like, what argument did Whitney think she just won? We know. We know all this.
I'm not sure. So Heather's like, if that had happened when you came and told me all this in Arizona, why didn't you say, remember, this is a joke that Angie made? And Lisa goes, it wasn't a joke. She told other people to. She told other people to. Whoa, Heather, I think she did say that to you, actually. Let's roll the clip of Whitney literally saying that to you.
And I love this. Them and the lingerie party. It's like bustiers. And Whitney being like,
well, Angie said that the reason they have tickets is because Lisa does stuff for them.
The clip is just so bizarre to see the clip in the middle of all of this. And then, yeah, okay, just to correct here, Andy, yes, she did say that, but she was saying it like it was serious, not that it was like a joke. Right. Heather is saying, why don't you just say that, remember, Andy Harrington was joking, Elisa probably gave, which is what we've all suspected this was anyway. But Whitney's like, no, she said that Lisa is blowing everybody. She said that Lisa insists on taking out Grimace's fupa and sucking on his mushroom head and, until she gets a happy meal. It's like, why are you making it sound like that?
Whitney has not always been a great interpreter of tone, I think. I think she has often passed sort of cutting jokes off as like cutting jokes as truth. So Lisa's like, you know what? No matter how much hate Whitney gets for it, I'm so glad she came in and stopped it. Because if Whitney didn't come in that night, and Heather's like, stop it. Like, what? She started all this stuff. No, she didn't start it. I believe Whitney wouldn't have said anything if other people in this group were not going to Whitney to talk about it. So she's basically trying to be like, remember, we have to be mad at Meredith about this.
Right, we're mad at Meredith and Angie about it, which is true. They're trying to make it this big thing about Whitney, but she was just repeating information from Angie Harrington, right? That Meredith was trying to get her to say on camera.
I think that she was, I mean, Meredith just was like, okay, I'm going to get my revenge on Lisa, and I know the easiest way to do it is just to, like, just give a little, like, a little tip, just poke Whitney a little bit, and she'd be like, I heard that Lisa Barlow gives blowjobs, and she chopped down a people's Christmas trees, and she blew up a bank. You know, it's like, just let it grow.
And Lisa's like, yeah, because a lot of people in this group are talking about me. And Heather says, I didn't hear any of this until Arizona. What are you talking about? Well, when Whitney talked to me, she disclosed a lot of information. A lot. It was a natural geyser shooting up of information. Dun, dun, dun. We go to commercial. And then when we come back, she's like, a huge amount of information. And then there's nothing. Like, what is it? What are you yelling about? Tell us.
Well, you were the one who brought up the rumors in the first place. And we see the flashback of Maris like, well, Whitney, there are rumors, and I don't know if they're true or false, but there are enough rumors that I came all the way over to your strange house and helped you undo the dishes, take out the dishes from the dishwasher. So I'm just letting you know there are rumors out there, and they sound absurd to me. I mean, could you believe that there's a rumor that Lisa Barlow traded sexual favors with a statue outside the arena that the Jazz playing in? It sounds absurd to me. I can't believe anyone would say such a thing.
Okay, then while you were roller skating, Lisa, in San Diego, you seemed to insinuate that Meredith had a pill problem.
And then it cuts to Lisa in that pink bicycle helmet going, at least I don't pop pills, bitch, like you do. Like, that's not insinuating. That's literally saying she pops pills. So Lisa goes, no, it wasn't about that. It's just that Jen said that when we were at Zion's, when we were at Club Zion's, Meredith was on something with Heather.
Well, you said she popped pills. Yeah, well, Jen said that they popped pills beforehand. I was like, oh, Lisa's smart. Just play it. You pin this on Jen, knowing Jen not only isn't coming back, but is going to be locked up for 6 years, so she can't refute it. So just offload everything onto Jen. Perfect.
Right. And Heather's like, Whitney, you know this isn't true. And she goes, yeah, Jen told me. She said you pop pills, and she told me, like, ketamine or something, ketamine, something like that. I don't know anything about drugs. And that's why I said it. I mean, I guess it's a bitchy thing to say. And Meredith's like, bitchy thing to say. It is, Lisa. It's not a maybe it's a bitchy thing. And then Andy's like, well, calling someone a pill popper goes beyond bitchy. That's pretty bold accusation. That's very hurtful. It's like, of course, Andy, the most offended Andy has ever been is that someone's drug use is called out on national television.
Yeah. You know? Well, it's pretty violent. It's called slander. Okay. I don't understand what's wrong about ketamine. They sell it at every gas station and supermarket checkout line. That's a Kit Kat, not ketamine. Please try to keep up, Whitney.
Well, there's a lot of accusations flying. And you know what? Are mine actually worse than everyone else's? Like, so what? And if you really do have a problem, you should, you know? Call Jen right now and say, hey, why did you say that? Because she for sure said it. She said it.
And Meredith's like, fine, well, I'm calling Jen. I'm going to call her. So she starts dialing Jen. And Lisa's like,
yeah, she talked to Whitney about it.
Yeah, she did. She told me they had kettle corn and pelican meat.
Now, okay, just speak to Jen about it instead. So Meredith
she
called
said
Jen.
Greta's mean, and I said, yeah, that's why I stopped watching the news.
Greta Van Susteren always had a bad vibe about her.
So Meredith calls Jen. So, of course, Jen answers, because Jen's probably out on the sidewalk trying to, like, listen in into the studio.
Yeah, and she's up on the roof, you know, trying to find a crack to look down through.
She has like two cups with a string. Like she's across the street. She's like, so Jen's like, Meredith's like, Jen, I have you on speaker at the reunion. We have a little bit of a conflict here. What about me? What about my conflict? No, Jen, too soon. Okay.
Hey, Jen, tell them how you told us they did shrimps in the hot tub.
Shrooms? Now we're doing shrooms? Well, ketamine and shrooms. I mean, I didn't know what ketamine was. I had to, like, Google it. Turns out it's not Diet Coke.
And Jen's like, ketamine? What do you mean? Like the horse drug? The drug that horses do? I mean, we're not addicts like horses. Stop calling me an addict. I'm not a horse, bitch!
And Heather's like, Special K. Oh, well, yeah, I give that to my kids.
I don't think it's the same Special K, Whitney.
So Andy's like, well, the question... So Andy looks pissed. Andy, you know, you can see what's going through Andy's mind is, you wouldn't come to the reunion, but you're totally fine to answer questions on this phone. How dare you? So he goes, okay, Jen. So the question is, were you going around asking if Meredith is a pill popper behind her back? She's
like, no, it wasn't. That's a lie. I never would have said those things ever.
And Lisa's like, well, you don't tell the truth all the time, so I wouldn't expect you to now. And Whitney's like, yeah, I don't believe a word that comes out of her mouth.
And Lisa's like, you believe this over me? No, I'm not going to jail. And Andy's like, whoa. How could you be so rude to someone who robbed seniors of all of their income? I can't believe it. Wow, that really crossed the line.
That was really hitting below the belt. I'm so upset with how you just hit below the belt. I need a moment. So why don't we run the footage for the 12th time of Jen getting arrested in the Sprinter van. Okay.
So then Heather's doing a shocked face too. And Lisa's like, well, it's the truth. And Andy goes, okay, so you're saying it's inaccurate. Thanks, bye. Hang up now. And Meredith is like, well, I heard through the grapevine that long before this season, Lisa had been saying things. She had been saying things. She had been singing the California Sunshine. Oh, I heard it through the grapevine. There was a girl.
Who? Name names.
And she's like, well, they're not in this cast. Lucille Ball, Reba McEntire.
Yeah, the reason that plays saxophone gave it to me good authority that you would pop some pills, asked him if you had a connect, whatever that means. So,
and then Lisa is screaming. She's like, I've never said that before. And your buddy did it. And it's funny that you believe someone going to prison over me. I got out of this. I'm the monitor. Who cares? We all know they're doing pills and drugs. Like, does anybody doubt this? I mean, look at the footage that they've showed 20 times tonight of Heather and Jen. All like rubbing boobs and doing all that stuff. Meredith can barely hold her head up half the time. We know you're all popping pills, guys. The Housewives did not just start yesterday.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
My favorite is that when Lisa Barlow gets really upset, she looks like she's on a bumpy hayride. She's just like, I did nothing wrong. I did nothing. I am not wrong. I am not wrong. She's bouncing up and down, up and down, up and down.
And Meredith is like, of course, because you can't admit when you're wrong, Lisa. She's, I do. I admit when I'm wrong. You don't. If you apologize once, it's fine. But everyone else has to apologize to you forever.
Oh, well, I have actually apologized a multitude of times to Lisa over these rumors. I think we're on 6, maybe 7 now. And he's like, sorry, I wasn't really listening. Hey, Meredith, behind Lisa's back, you said you would hate to have an SEC filing at this stage in your life. No, Andrew, that's not what I said. Please roll the footage of me saying I could not imagine wanting to crowdfund at this stage of my life unless I had no other choice. I think I'm absolved of any misdoing at this point. Thank you.
Listen, I was just saying it's not right for me. I mean, it's right for them. It's right for them. I don't like playing games where you have to guess how many jelly beans are in a jar. But if the Barlows want to do that, that's fine.
If they want to crowdfund, fine. They want to go on to Kickstarter, that's fine. I don't like violence. I don't like kicking, so I do not participate in crowdfunding.
Listen, if they want to stand in front of a grocery store dressed like Santa, ringing a bell until someone throws them enough dollars in a red bucket to start a business, that's fine.
I never wanted
to join the army.
I'm excited for their Kickstarter about the SEC. I think it's going to be a tremendous board game that many people will enjoy. SEC, the board game available on Kickstarter now. Exciting for them.
So she's like, yeah, and also I don't want to do the work that all that filing, you know, would require. And Lisa's like, we have a lot of lawyers.
Hold on. Oh my God. Lawyer Steve just did the funniest TikTok. It's like the funniest TikTok I've ever seen.
Yeah. And guess what? My eldest son just graduated from Fudge University with a legal degree. Okay. He passed the bar, the chocolate bar. Okay. So now he's on my team.
Oh, yeah. By the way, we're on TikTok now. Watch What Crappens on TikTok. Just search Watch What Crappens. Okay. Sorry to interrupt. So
it makes sense because we just turned 11 on Wednesday. So it's appropriate that we're on TikTok all of a sudden.
Yeah. Don't tell us we're too old. So Whitney's like, the point isn't the filling. The way that Meredith brought it up was to make Lisa look bad. And Andy's like, do either one of you want to pursue a relationship, or are both of you as bored with each other as I am with the both of you? Did you know I'm a father?
I think that we've both made very big mistakes. Lisa has said horrible things about me, and my mistake was being friends with her in the first place. And I think it's really, really sad. It's heartbreaking to me, and I don't know where we can go at this point. I mean, at a minimum, it would be nice to be respectful out of respect for the friendship we once had, even if there is no future towards a new one, and to treat each other with respect and kindness. Knowing I have a toddler at home and just be cordial and see where it goes, I would be open. If she decided to give me a little rattle, I can give it to Brooksy, see how he enjoys it.
A little that rattle. And then we get my favorite segment of every reunion, Lisa Barlow's cry, her constipation cry.
I've been friends with Meredith for a long time, and I felt devastated last year prior to the hot mic moment, because, like, we weren't even friends anymore, and it's so sad. Like, I don't know, like, me and John, like, you're a John too. Why would you a John? Why would you a John?
Are you done with birthing whatever sheep or cow you...
I know. Hey, well, I really hope there's a positive path forward for the two of you that we can come in and destroy. All right, let's go to commercial.
So we come back. So they're on break and nothing really happens. And then we talk about how Lisa's singing went viral. He's like, wow, Lisa, your singing went viral. People literally broke out in hives. Would you consider releasing a holiday disease? I think it's about time. I think it's about time.
Actually, Andy, I would. Like, maybe I'm already working on it. Maybe it's not an album, but maybe it's like 3 songs. It's called, like, Deck the Diet Coke with Boughs of Ice Cube. I don't know. There's a lot, Andy. There's a lot.
Away in a manger, away from a manger, and away in a manger, which is really confusing. That's a dance mix.
Jingle Taco Bells. That's a big one I'm excited for.
Jingle Tacos.
Silver Taco Bells. I'm excited for that one, too.
Jingo Chips.
Andy's like, okay, well, from drinks and hair to shoes in the water, setting sails with shoes in the water and hair in the drinks. Something else happened on this show. I really don't care. Roll something so I can close my eyes for 5 minutes. Thank you.
And it's the big friend of segment, a big friend of montage. And lo and behold, when we come back out of the montage, three friends of. I don't think we've ever had this many friends ofs. And at least the ratio, the proportion of friends ofs to cast members, we've never had it rival the actual number. Like, it was 3-4. 3 versus 4. This was a, like, at a certain point, those the cast members were going to be outnumbered. It was very scary. Andy looked alarmed.
First of all, everybody looks insane. Okay? Reunion outfits are traditionally crazy. This one was insane. I don't know if they called them all and said, listen, we want you to look like varying stages of Band-Aids. Heather can be a fresh Band-Aid. Meredith can be like a day old. Whitney can be Angie Harrington could be a scabby Band-Aid that needs to be changed.
Scabby band.
You know?
I, believe it or not, I actually really like Dana's look. First of
Dana
all,
Dana looked fucking insane. She's wearing a cape.
It was like House of the Dragon. She looked like Rhaenyrus or Rhaenyra. I forget their names.
Rhaenyra. She looked like Rhaenyra. There's both, but Rhaenyra.
I know. It was Rhaenyra. She was like Rhaenyra, and so
she was like Rayon to me.
I don't know. I have to say I liked Dana's look. I like that she went for it. She's like, you know, they cut out my big scene, so I'm gonna wear a cape to the reunion and I will not.
Yeah, I'm gonna come in like a Disney villain, you know, which this is the show to do that on. It's the show to make that move. But Dana just can't pull it off because like she's just not comfortable. She keeps pulling at the shoulders of it and like it's just not fitting right. You know, she's just sitting there the whole time like fidgeting with it.
Yeah. Like, it's not unlike that famous Carol Burnett sketch where she plays the guy with Scarlett O'Hara getting stuck in the window rod.
Yes.
So anyway, so they're all there and Andy is just like, he's so dismayed. He's just never seen so many friends of before on his couches and he's just furious. And he's like, so Destiny from Austin, who's working at a breakfast shop, said, hey, Dana, you started talking badly about Jen from the get-go. Did you ever intend to get along with... hold on a second. Hey, Susan, who's Dana? Is there an actual Dana on this show? Is this a typo? Oh, there is a Dana. Okay, all right.
And
Dana,
my favorite
continue.
On this was when they showed the clip of Jen and anyone being like, this show can't last without Jen. And Jen's like, great one-liners. Jen is like, oh, really? Dana Banana Bonfana? You're going to come for me? I was like, oh my God. That was like the proof that she's done, you know? So we see never before seen footage. Right? Is this when we see that? That's in a minute. So Dana's like, well, I saw the way that she treated you, Angie, at the choir audition. Like, I didn't really like that, Angie. And she's like, well, I appreciate you for defending me. That was hard. That was hard. It really was. And Andy's like, well, why did you tell Jen you knew an informant? And she's like, because I was just hoping it that she could own it and take accountability for it, Aunt Andy. Are there bees in here? No, those are just your shoulder pads. Please stay still. It's a television show.
So, jumping ahead to Heather's book party. What was your motivation for going after Jen, aside from the fact that it just would have been a fun thing to do, and you know you probably might not get another chance to do it for 30 more years? She goes, well, Andy.
Oh, well, this is when we finally see the clip, too, right?
So I wonder, by the way, before we even see the clip, maybe the reason why we didn't see this in the main show is because since we didn't have Jen on the reunion, they were like, let's just put this on the reunions. That way there's like some Jen fighting for people to watch. So we have Jen saying, don't talk to me, Dana. Don't talk to me. And Dana's like, get out of my motherfucking face, okay? You get in my face, I can be right back in it too.
Yeah, and she's like, yeah, you better be nice to me, especially if you want some money on your books.
Yeah,
and
then you like to bark, I bite.
Tried to get all like crazy with her and then storm off. It's like, Dana, nobody cares. It's a lot for you, Dana. It's a lot.
Well, I appreciated it. I just wish she had done it earlier. It. But I also liked when she said, like, you better be real nice to me, especially if you want to get some money in your fucking books. You see, I think it's Whitney in the background going, oh my God. Jen's writing a book and didn't tell me.
Oh. So and then she announced it the same day as Heather's book release. Wow. At least I'm not the only person stealing storylines from Heather this season.
And then they just give Dana this big, giant monologue. It's kind of like the last thing that Dana says for the rest of the show and probably the rest of her Bravo career. So she starts off, she goes, you know, there's a reason I blew up that night, Andy. At our dinner in San Diego, she was making fun of where I was living. So I was like, I live on the west side of Salt Lake City. It's more of a country town. Oh, south side?
I live on the south side. Yeah, she's like, I live on the south side. The south side of Salt Lake City.
And she was like, Dana, you're mad because you live in Tula. What was that? Tooele. Tooele.
Tooele. Yeah.
Tallulah?
She's like, yeah. She said, you're just mad because you live in Tooele. And I was like, oh, yeah? Well, I own multiple properties and her ass just rents. And if I wanted, I could buy the house that she's renting. You want to make fun of Tooele? Why would you make fun of Tooele? And then she said, and then your husband, Rodrigo, or Herberto, or whatever his name is. And I was like, my husband's name is Ernesto, and there's no need to make fun of his name in Tooele. So, put all of this together. I'm just going to address what she's doing is not right, because I don't like her name-shaming towns or men.
I'm going to address it. And guess what? That was a pun, because she made fun of my address. And Tallulah Fairbanks. So Andy's like, all right. So thanks, Dana. That was a really stirring monologue about nothing. Hey, Judy from Judytown says, Angie H., we all really want to know what happened at the jazz game. Did you tell Whitney and Heather that Lisa slept with a rich friend for jazz tickets? And Angie H. is like, absolutely not, Andy. I sang it to the tune of When the Saints Come Marching In. A totally different vibe.
Okay, well, if you didn't do it that way, did you talk about it ever then? And she's like, well, Andy, well, look, Whitney and I had discussed rumors over the phone because John Barlow was behaving in a way I didn't understand at a jazz game. She's got such a weird cadence about how she just drops words, you know? She's thinking, it's like she gets a load of them and then drops them all and then has to wait for the rest of them to fill her head and then like waits for enough and just drops them. So
it's like watching dictation on your Apple phone, on your iPhone. It's like when you speak into it and then it like takes a second and it's like, blah, blah, these are the words you said.
Yeah, so you're like, you can do it. I believe in you.
Andy, John Barlow was acting in a way I did not recognize at a jazz game. He was making decisions, speaking in a voice that was not quiet. It was very alarming, quite frankly.
Hey, my husband told your husband to stay away from him. That is what happened at the game. She goes, no, he yelled the F word in front of your son at him.
No, no, no. This is where it all gets twisted, Andy. So this is good. Let's go. Let's keep speaking. It's like when you're trying to do like group therapy, like mediation between them. No, no, no. This is really good stuff. This is good. This is good. Keep going.
And Angie's like, he was acting like a lunatic. Now, when she said yelling the F word, what F word did she mean? She better mean fuck. I'll tell you that right now, because nothing would surprise me in this cast.
Could have been French fries. The overlooked Mormon sin of eating French fries.
Could have been Funyuns. So Angie is like, well, security came over and said, you want us to kick John Barlow out because he's acting like a psycho. So I called Whitney and I said, it's interesting because he's sitting in bleep seats. And she said, do you think anything's going on there? And I said, I've always wondered because I have.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. By the way, I have to say one thing that was very funny is that in the tease for this segment going into the last commercial break, they showed this exchange where Lisa goes, don't talk about my husband's character. And then Angie says, don't talk about my husband's character. And then Lisa goes, your husband's character? The world knows about that. But then when we actually see it, when they show that as the teaser, they cut out all the stutters and ums, because when we actually see it, Lisa goes like this: "Well, your husband's character, like, the world knows about that." I was like, "Ooh,
I know."
Definitely helped.
When that happened, editing. I was like, "You know how much better Watch What Crappens would be if we had that? Like, can we hire somebody?
Someone in my jokes would be so much better." How many times have I said, "And she's just like a what's the name of it?" Escalator.
I'm the worst. That would be nice. But also an editor that occasionally throws us under the bus like this, because this was good. It's like the editor is like, "Oh, let's make Lisa not look stupid." Just kidding. Let's make Lisa look really stupid. Let's keep it in there. Whitney's like, "Well, Angie and I have had so many conversations, so I gave her a pass because, like, maybe she forgot making the joke." Okay, so Whitney, now you're saying it was a joke? Now you're saying that you knew it was just a joke that Angie was making? You just admitted to completely fabricating your anger over this whole thing. Whitney is such a shady asshole, and God, I really love Whitney now. Isn't that weird?
She's hilarious.
I love Whitney now. I used to hate Whitney, but now I'm like, oh my God, you're so dumb and cute.
Can I ask what the joke was? Because I'm still unclear, because I never said anything about blowjobs for jazz tickets. No, the blowjob for jazz tickets got twisted in a mess. Remember when I said it got twisted? This is good. So she got twisted in a moment that we were drunk in Arizona. Well,
but did I say that? She goes, "No, you said Heather should buddy up with Bleep like our friend Lisa."
For the record, I did not, nor would I ever do that. Okay, so nor do I believe you would have done that, Lisa. I mean, I think that we all know that if you're giving out sexual favors, it's to prevent caterers to coming to my parties.
I just don't feel like Lisa Barlow is a sexual favors kind of a person.
No.
I don't see
that at all.
I'm not saying like I don't see any sexual charisma. I mean, I don't. I don't look for it really, but I don't know. Now me? Shit, I'll blow you for 10% off an Uber ride. Like, but Lisa, I just don't see Lisa doing that. It just feels weird, especially over sports tickets. Like, what the fuck does she care?
So Andy's now fully bored. He's like, "So Lisa, are you a jazz fan? Have you seen The Last Dance on ESPN? Wow, what a documentary."
She's like, "I'm a really big jazz fan." Jizz? Jazz. So you are a jazz fan. No, I'm a really big jazz fan, Andy. I'm friends with some of the players too, but I don't sleep with them either. And Angie just goes, "Oh, friends with the players." Oh, right.
Well, Coco from Butter says, "Meredith, you said someone sent you proof that Lisa was creating fake Instagram accounts to troll Angie." I never did.
Sandy's like, "Okay, well, who was sending you, Meredith? Meredith, you had all this anti-Lisa stuff all season long. Jazz, Vita, you know, who was sending you all this anti-Lisa stuff?" And Lisa's still yelling, "I know I've trolled accounts. I never trolled anybody. I use my own face.
It's her battlefield. It's her battlefield. Trolls her are face. Her battlefield.
Oh my God, that's your battlefield, your face.
I don't think Meredith actually winds up even answering the question of who the hell is sending her all these SEC filings, etc.
No, and Andy yells. He's like, "Let her finish!" And Angie's like, "Well, I have screenshots, and she has DMs too. You do it to all of us. We all have screenshots, Lisa. We all do, Lisa."
"You're trying to take away from the fact that your husband trolled me. Okay, I'm sorry, he trolled me."
And Andy's like, "Well, it was fucked up. I'm not going to say it's not. It was fucked up." And Andy's like, okay, let's move on. I'm like, this is the best storyline of the season, was the husband coming to troll her.
I know.
No, let's not move on. Let's bring that fucker out here in an Elf on the Shelf costume.
Please.
And make him fake cry and explain himself.
All right. So Kimo from Sabi's says, "Angie K., You set the ladies up in San Diego with a big house, which was supposed to be Jen's last hurrah from, you know, going from the big house to the big house. Ha, ha, ha. Anyway, did you feel like you were the hostess of that trip?
Well, I feel like that was both of our trips, Andy's. And he's like, well, typically Jen has the best room, but what'd you think when Angie took it? And they're like, oh, we saw trouble coming. And Andy goes, so Angie K, why do you bother Jen so much that you were, you know, taking the big room? She goes, to be really truthful, Andy's, let me tell you, I just think that Jen wanted me in the groups with conditions, and she wanted me down there on a leash, right? He's like, but the champagne, that was the what was the message with that? She goes, that she's the one in control, and I need to calm down and not take the trips over. I was like, well conveyed. Nice job. That is exactly what the message was, and you didn't listen. But good for you. You shouldn't listen. You shouldn't be taking orders like that.
I also want to point out that at no point during this reunion does Andy ever ask, after she poured that champagne on your head, why would you be friends with her again? Because it never made sense why Angie went back. So Andy is like, so did it feel like a joke? Did anyone else here think it was funny as my last joke that I just made about the big houses and everything? And Heather goes, well, when I played it back, I saw the humor in it. Where, Heather? Where was the humor, Heather? She goes, nobody found it funny, Heather. Well, there are jokes that you make that I don't think are very funny, like that why the chicken crossed the road joke last night. Yes, that was a hilarious joke. It crossed the road to put on a dress that has an evil eye on it. That's not funny to you?
You laughed at my traumas. You laughed at my traumas. How could you do that, Heathers? And Heather's like, listen, I'm not the one who poured champagne on your head. I never would pour champagne on your head. And if I'm going to just get nailed to a fucking cross just because I thought something was a funny bitch move, then just do it, okay? Just fucking do it already. And she's like, well, it's very clear you don't like me because you wouldn't find that funny, Heather. And so Andy's like, well, Penn from Is Big Booty Small says, Angie K compared Jen not paying for Coach's party to conning people. Meredith and Heather, what is your response to that? Below the belt. Oh, no. Below the belt.
That was below the belt.
Below the belt.
They were so close, Andy. I mean, it's a bit much considering it's just a little bit of champagne. Oh, a little bit of champagne? Did it take a bucket for me to grasp the intention of the disrespect, Meredith? No, well, listen, I'm not defending her doing it. Don't misunderstand me, because if she had done that to me, I would have been horrified. But she did it to you, which was hilarious.
Yeah, but you're completely minimizing what she did to me. And Meredith's like, well, I'm not minimizing it. I'm saying it was no big deal. There's a difference there. And Andy's like, oh, yeah, well, let's see what happens when I pour champagnes on your heads. And Meredith's like, well, if I have an entire salon of people waiting for me to fix my hair, maybe, I mean, I get a little upset.
I guess insinuating that she had her whole glam team or whatever.
I got up at 3 a.m., hair and makeup, 3 a.m., and she destroyed that. Well, I wouldn't have taken something like that to that level. That's all I'm saying. I mean, it's one thing if you pour a bunch of champagne on my toddler, Brooks, but you're not a toddler. You're a friend of, okay? You're not a toddler of. Well, it wasn't just that one moment. This went back months and years. I was at my tipping point with her, which is why I arranged a very large house for her last vacation of all time.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. None of it makes sense. And they also never get into the whole, she threw your shoes overboard and then you're fine with her. Like, what the fuck? So now she's saying, because Heather says, why host a party for her? And so she goes, yeah, well, she's been calling me a fucking bitch and a fucking fake bitch. And then she said, you talk to Lisa, you fake fraud bitch. And is this where they put a text?
No, well, it's,
oh, darn it, I have the text ready. Tell me when it comes, because I've got it ready to read, because it's crazy.
It is crazy.
Lisa's like, yeah, she got mad because we weren't allowed to text each other. And Angie goes, well, neither were Meredith and I. And she goes, because of Lisa. Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, and so, Angie K is like, Okay, you don't have to know about my history with Jen, but reading the room in that moment and how uncomfortable I was, you should. Like, you know what you should do? You should work in a cubicle because you apparently have zero people skills. That was funny, right? That was an example of comedy and humor, right? Meredith goes, Meredith actually takes this seriously. She goes, I don't work in a cubicle and my business is extraordinarily social and I have very good people skills. Angie, they have been. They haven't been trying to get on this show for 3 years, so dropping the mic. Hashtag social.
Also, shout out to cubicle workers. Fuck them for this comment. What is this comment? Do you know that probably 90% of the world's customer service actually works from a cubicle, you fucking nitwit?
Also, people don't work in cubicles because they're afraid to work with people. That's not what cubicles are there for.
Yeah, it's not there to protect people from having to see a certain part of society, you idiot. So, so they're now in a cubicle fight. And Angie K is like, I never called anyone. I was referred to by 1, 2, and 3. And that's how I was referred by 1, 2, and 3. And that's how I never called anyone trying to get on the show. I'm from Salt Lake City, okay? I know people here. Not like you, who had a birthday party that wasn't even your party. It was Jen's party.
Yeah, I am from here. I'm not like some idiot from Tooele. Sorry, Dana. Collateral damage. You're just here. I can't help it.
Tooele, the town built by cubicle people.
Tooele, city of antisocial people who work in cubicles. Am I right? High five, everyone. Oh, Dana, did not realize you were still here. Moving on. Okay.
My note here is, haha, he hates this cast. He was it. So pissed. He's like, oh my God.
Well, because Angie K was trying so hard. Like, she was like, I am here to get my snowflake. So Andy is like, okay, Angie K, you pissed off Meredith and Heather by telling Lisa what Meredith had said about the SEC filing. Why'd you bring it up? Well, okay, 2 days before we went to San Diego, Jen was trying to expose Heather's business to me, and I don't want to embarrass you because it wasn't kind. And she sent me all this information calling you a lying bitch. Ass ho. Those were her words. And here are the text messages to prove that she said that, and I was totally chill in this conversation.
This is, yeah, that's what's so funny about this to me, because she's bringing this into evidence to make herself look better, but she looks horrible in these texts.
So
okay.
Bad.
So Jen says, girl, I got you. And then Angie K says, seriously, thank you. We are both going to have to have a talk with this bitch down there. And you are going to have, and then it says something that they
has
cover
to address
with this.
The banana. She says, you're going to have to address the banana, which maybe was that like their code for Dana? I'm not sure. So
the banana.
I don't know. Cause I was like, what does that mean? You're going to have to address the banana.
And then that's when Jen says, don't fuck with my people or me. Bye, bitch ass hoe. And then she writes back, okay. She's just going from bad to worse here. What the fuck, LOL. So you just, you just look like a Jen minion. Why are you bringing this into evidence, you ding dong?
She says it as if Jen came to her be like, I'm going to expose Heather and it's going to be terrible. But the texts are like, yeah, do it. I am going to be there with you. Let's bring her down. So then
and this is also another moment where Andy, sorry to keep calling him out because obviously he's just having a bad day. But girl, what do you draw? You're just dropping the ball left and right here, right? Because Andy goes, so what do you think of that, Heather? And she's like, well, I think it's far over the course with Jen and my business stands for itself. I'm proud of the way it started. How did it start? What is this shameful way that it started? Because from what we know, you bought a business with divorce money, right? Is it more than that? Because if it is, I would love to know. Andy, you gonna ask any questions here?
So Angie K is like, so 2 days later, I'm watching Jen with you and Meredith in the car. She's talking to Heather. You and Meredith in the car, and she's doing the exact same thing to Lisa. And I was very triggered because I thought we were going to be taking you down, Heather, and then she changed the game plan, and I wanted to get the hell out of the car because the only way I felt I could make it right was to share it with Lisa.
Right. She's mad because she had a storyline that she was going to fake with somebody and get them caught on screen. But then somebody else didn't. She's like, wait a minute. They all just fake these fights and go at each other and plan all this information. I'm triggered. Which makes no fucking sense. You were part of the triggering event, ma'am.
Okay. So then, and then she goes, who's next? Is it me? I worked off from my, worked my ass off from my business and reputation. And I know you have too. And I did not like it. Who is next? Who is next? Like, you know, like, it's like, she makes it sound like they're being picked off by a serial killer. Which one of us will be next?
Yes. And it's just so funny because it's really a glimpse into the backs, you know, the back scenes of how all of this really works, you know, like teaming up to bring each other down. And then the scene goes badly and it doesn't quite work. And then you get left holding the bag and you get pissed off about it. And you try and change sides last minute, you know. So anyway,
first Jen tried to come for Beauty Lab and Laser, and I said nothing. Then they came for Lisa Barlow's whatever her business is, and I said nothing. And then Jen Shaw came for me, and there was no one to say anything for me.
Except Marilo, who was still holding a purse he had stolen from Meredith's store. So Heather's like, you know, I just find it interesting that we have this selective morality. Like, it's okay to do to people if you're with Jen, but then no one told me, and then Jen couldn't carry the ball to the finish line and give me an ultimatum, so now you're here trying to do that? Like, why do we get to pick and choose? Like, how do we pick and choose? Which is a really good point. It's like, they're all just being shitheads, and she's just like, but you're even admitting in your own story that you're a shithead, so why am I going to be mad at Jen after this story? You're an asshole.
So Lisa's like, that's a lot of lumping people together. Okay, I have never gone along with any schemes with Jen. Okay, I have never participated with that. And I think it's wrong when Jen does that. I always try to help change gears. I always try to help her change gears. You know, that's like why I love driving, because I can always change gears.
So Andy's like, okay, let's change gears then. You ready, Heather? And then we get the Top Chef. Shing,
shing.
And she's like, bring it on, Andy.
Well, all eyes were on Heather this season when she woke up with a huge shiner in San Diego. Was her black eye thanks to a drunken blackout? Or do you think these women have a fight club that we don't know about?
So then we get clips of Jen and Heather just being wasted in their Marilyn Monroe outfits and wigs and just pulling up their tops and rubbing boobies and humping each other and like putting their boobs on the mirrors with no ketamine or shrooms involved at all, I'm sure. And then basically all the clips of the Black Eye Night, right? So we come back and Andy's like, okay, you told several stories. You didn't know. You knew. Everyone knows. Some people know. Lisa smells like farts. I'm sorry. I heard that in an Apple store. That just slipped it. Betty, cut that. Cut that part out.
Well, Andy, I blacked out. I don't know what happened. Well, I wish you just said that. She's like, well, you know, because there was a whole investigation. Yeah. And I just wish you could have like just said that. And Heather goes, well, I woke up terrified. I was terrified. You know, I woke up, my phone was plugged in. Have you ever had your phone plugged in when you wake up in the morning? It's horrifying. Horrifying.
And so she's like, she's like, yeah, I blacked out. And Lisa said, well, I wish you had just said that because it caused so much drama. I mean, they opened an investigation. And Heather goes, well, I wanted an investigation open because I woke up with a black eye. And Andy's like, well, they didn't find anything and there was no additional footage. So what the hell? Like, if there was, we would have shown it. And she's like, yeah, I was terrified. And he's like, but then why would you say you know what happened if you don't? And she said, because I was scared that they would rewrite the narrative, and if I said I didn't know what happened, then they could make up whatever they wanted and say that that's what happened. And Andy goes, who? Who's they? And she goes, who's they? My castmate! Like, look around, like, it's a housewives show.
Did you not remember last season what we did with there was confusion about a memorial date. I mean, they were just going to run with this if I didn't have, I had to give a placeholder. She's basically saying I needed placeholders and I needed to stall until I could figure it out myself. So Lisa's like, well, if you said you didn't, like, I didn't know what happened because I blacked out, I drank too much, like, that would have been, like, so much better because that, like, this, like, impacted people on production. Like, it made them, like, made it look like they did it to her. Okay, it made it look like, I don't know, suddenly Lisa cares very much about
production.
Yeah,
well, she's saying, well, yeah, because apparently they launched an investigation, like, who hurt Heather in the middle of the night when she was blackout drunk? Did somebody take advantage of her from production? Was it, like, some creepy sound dude who was, like, just up? Like,
yeah.
Who did this to Heather? Like, there's no footage, but obviously something happened. So she's saying, yeah, you think this is this big funny storyline, but you're putting all these people's lives at risk, but their jobs at risk and their reputations at risk.
She's like, I just wish you'd said I blacked out. So Heather's like, you know what? Like, you know, I take full responsibility for it. I'm sorry. I would have choked on those words. It was humiliating. I don't want to black out. I don't want to get drunk and black out. It's terrifying. And Andy's like, you're not the first housewife to black out. Here's seasons 1 through last year of Roni. Okay.
And she's like, I know, but for me, I have so much Mormon shame about drinking. Okay. I'm not going to follow you down this Mormon shame bullshit path. Okay. I'm just not going to do it. Especially when you had the whole booby and grinding and getting fucking hardcore wasted every single episode. No, you don't get to use Mormon shame to absolve you of your black eye storyline. Now, that said, I'm kind of buying a lot of what she's saying here as far as, look, I didn't know what happened, but I knew something happened. And if somebody did hit me and I acted like I knew they hit me, so they better come clean before I do it, then that was a way of tricking them into coming clean. I mean, it just gets so crazy.
I actually believe it too, although I'm famously naive because I believe a lot of stuff that Bravo prepares for me. I'm like, oh yeah, that sounds good. But like,
we'll eat what you're cooking. You know what I mean?
But I do think like she's doing a social deduction. It makes sense now. Like, okay, she didn't want to say I blacked out because then what would have happened was what she was afraid of. If she says I blacked out, they would all think that she was covering up a story. So she leads with confusion with all these different things, sort of hoping that she could flush out someone who knows the information, maybe vaguely threatening them or making them feel like she's chill with it, so they might come forward and admit it. But that explains really why she's so erratic with all her responses.
Well, kind of, but not really. I mean, you really have to believe it all the way to believe it, right? There's no partial believing it. Because then, on the other hand, you're like, no, she did keep looking at Jen in a certain way. And they call this out, too. She did keep looking at Jen, like, are you going to say something? Which she explains away by saying, well, I thought Jen was going to help me find out who did it or whatever. But then there's the other rumors that she ran into a sink. Or she hit her eye on the door.
She fell off a boat.
She fell off a boat. The most believed one in all of these theories.
So, yeah.
And then there's the one that we talked about last week where it's actually a Botox thing where she got an injection misplaced and it took a while to bruise up. And that people could see that she was already trying to cover her eye before that night. So she would have seen that that was happening and known that this wasn't from the night being blacked out, which makes all of this stuff bullshit. So we're left still not having any idea what to believe, you know? But I did find myself buying parts of this. Like, okay, I can see how you would try to get people to confess. Like a movie from the 80s, you know, with Steve Martin as a detective. Like, let's try and trick him into confessing.
Yeah. It's like when they say, listen, we know everything already. Fine. If you know everything, then here's what happened.
Yeah.
So basically, Andy's like, Andy asks her what she remembers. She goes, well, I remember flashing. There's the titties part. I was joking around with the boobs. I remember going into the room. I remember taking the wig off. I remember saying, God damn it, I'm on a Bravo show and they can only feed a charcuterie for dinner. And then I just black out.
And then she says, yeah, and then I just woke up in my pajamas with a black eye. And as Jen said, scratches on my arm and scratches on my back, which is weird. Like, why does she need to put, as Jen said, which could have been anything? And I mean, I didn't want an investigation. And Andy says, why? And she goes, because I was embarrassed. And the other couch moans. They all moan in unison. And Lisa goes, but you just said you wanted an investigation. And Heather's like, what? And they go, yeah, you just said you wanted an investigation.
No, I wanted an investigation to rule out that I'd not been assaulted, but I didn't want an investigation because of what had happened. It's like, what, huh? So that she says that she spoke to attorneys, she spoke to a doctor, and the doctor told her that you would have to have a medical condition to not know how you got the black eye. But she's, but I don't know. I don't know. So
She talked to lawyers, you know, which means that she thinks that somebody on the show did do something to her. This is just too fucking weird still. It's too fucking weird. This answer does not suffice, ma'am.
He's like, well, do you remember like when Angie and Jen and Meredith came into your room at like 4 a.m? And she's like, I don't remember. I remember being by the pool. That's all. Again, slices of salami and prosciutto come flashing through, but that's really about all I can get.
So then we get to, okay, what's the last thing you remember? And she's like, no, he tells Meredith. He goes, so Meredith, do you remember, were you really drunk? Were you as blitzed as they were? And Meredith says, no, you know, because I was surprised because people said, was she drunk enough to black out? You know, that dinner was very long. Service was not great. I apologize to whoever that was, but it was terrible. We got one drink the whole time. Then we went to a club. We were only there for a bit of time. So these people, they were all doing drugs, right? Basically, well, is what happened.
What's also funny, by the way, is that that charcuterie restaurant was where that waiter really tried to make a splash. He's like, you want to have the margarita? You're going to have the margarita. And then they only got one round because the producers apparently didn't want waiters interrupting the fighting. So, you know, that guy was like so eager to be like, I got to ask for more drinks. This is my moment, Bravo. Why are you holding me back?
Yeah. So apparently they were doing something else, right? So then Lisa's giving that, I know you do ketamine, look. And then Andy's like, so why was Jen your first call? Does that mean that you think Jen punched you? And then we go to commercial. And so then we come back and he's like, so why did you call Jen first? Because you truly believe in your heart of heart and souls that Jen abused you.
Well, no, I called her, you know, to come up with a cover story for when the, you know, for, you know, like, you know, because like, what do you do when you black out with a black eye? I thought I'd call her because she's a criminal and she has lies for everything. No, not that at all. It's because she's a creative mind. Well, it made her look guilty. Yeah.
Yeah. And thankfully, yeah, Whitney is like, yeah, but the way that you were talking about it, you made it seem like you guys got in a fight and you even kept looking at her like, are you going to agree with me or what? And Andy said, Heather, have you even asked Jen if it was she that hit you? And Heather's like, well, I mean, I think we joked about it. Like, we joked like, oh my God, did I do this to you? But it wasn't even about that. Like, I would rather Jen do that to me than some stranger.
Oh, okay. Well, do you think Jen punched you in the eye? I don't know. I mean, that's why I didn't want to have these questions, because I don't know. I blacked out. Okay. Okay. And so you don't know if she punched you in the eye or not. No, I can't speak to anything other than I walked to my room, I blacked out, and also apparently charged my phone in the process. It was a horrifying detail that was part of it, but it happened.
So he's like, okay, but did part of you think if she did do this, I want to cover it up so she's not penalized by a judge? And she's like, well, I mean, I knew that if Jen did it, I would cover it up anyway. But no, that wasn't my intention. I was like, okay, do you see how you get yourself in trouble here?
I know. So Andy's like, so is your biggest resent of the season not waking up and saying, hey, you guys, I got blitzed last night. I blacked out. I'm so embarrassed. That's funny because, like, I always thought of her as more of a prancer. No, blitzed, not blitzin. Sorry, Whitney. You're close.
So then Abby asks the ladies what they think. And Whitney's like, nothing. And he's like, no, about the situation with the black eye. Oh, I think she fell into Jen's fist as she swinged it to hit her. And then Angie K is like, I think she fell. Or my second thing was that Jen was like very off and very quiet on the phones. And when production asked like what happened to her eye, Jen looked at Heather very quiet and said, what are you going to say happens? And then that just gave me a very kind of dark feeling that we knew that they weren't sharing. And I believe that the most. I think yeah. that's, you know.
Although after watching The Traitors, I don't know. I can really see Angie K being like a Quentin in this situation, you know, like it could go either way for me still. I question everyone's instincts.
Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert.
What? That Quentin is an idiot? That's all I said.
Yeah. So then Dana thinks like they were maybe drunk and threw elbows and someone made fun of Tooele. And then Andy's like, and Angie K, you said scissor kicks, which normally would be something offensive that we'd discuss, but frankly, I'm too bored with you, idiot. So laugh about your own little dumb jokes so we can end this show. And Angie's like, well, I was talking to some people and they said, have you ever heard of sexual relations between Heather and Jens? And then it's like, dun, dun, dun. And Heather's like, squinting at the camera like, have we?
Mm. Andy, all I have to say is that last summer, Heather and Jen shared a cubicle somewhere. And that's all I'm going to say.
I heard that they both liked fucking cubicle people. Dun, dun, dun.
And that was the cliffhanger. Did Heather and Jen Shaw have a sexual relationship?
The rumors they spread about each other on the show. Because the only way that rumors get spread about these shows are these ladies contacting blogs themselves or telling people on DMs. That's how this shit all gets spread. We all know this by now. And this show is the dirtiest out of all of them. Do you remember how there was the one where Meredith really hated Jen because they were fucking the same guy from New York? They were having an affair with the same man in New York City.
Right.
And, you know, they were both having affairs on their husbands. I mean, the rumors they spread about each other are just so dark. I love it.
Well, speaking of rumors, we'll be back later this week with our next episode covering Real Housewives of Miami. Also a cast that likes to do rumors, but they do it in a really fun way. So we'll be recapping that. And again, come check us out on the road. We are going to Austin and Dallas next week, going to Texas. We'll be doing Salt Lake City in Dallas and Miami in Austin. So go to watchcrapids.com to get your tickets. And thanks everyone for listening and for watching. Hi everyone on Crapids on Demand. And we'll catch you on the very next episode. Okay. Bye.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Itchels.
Dana C.
Dana Du.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
She's always supplying, it's Kelly Ryan.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
You're never alone with Lacey Monteleone.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
There ain't no problem that Sarah Salvia can't solve ya.
Christy Wowerty Dowerty.
The Bay Area Betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors, the incredible edible Matthews sisters.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
She's not harsh, she's Jill Hirsch.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva. Erica 500 Days of Summers.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
Undo your fasteners, it's Aaron Kastner.
We love him madly, it's Kyle Pod Chadley.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
We want to hang with Liz Lang.
Shannon out of a cannon, Anthony. Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Watch What Crappens ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.